following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations. Welcome to Radioland. Thank you for being a part of the podcast. Broadcast, podcast. I don't know what you want to call it. Back here in Studio A, you might hear a train outside because I have the studio door open. It's kind of a weird, muggy, kind of a strange, different night. It's a Saturday. Usually I do this on a Sunday. Sometimes I do this on a Wednesday. Sometimes I do it on a Tuesday. It doesn't really matter. But here's the thing. I'm actually videotaping this for whatever it's worth. It may show up as in its entirety. It may be edited completely. I don't know. But there has been a few things that's been on my mind, and you folks are certainly privy to a lot of things that come rambling through my mind every once in a while. And I'm going to do my best to address them all as best as I possibly can. And here's the thing. Here's something to consider. Here's something that you should keep in mind about this particular episode of the show. When I work, whether I'm on the air, live, whether I'm doing this, I try and keep a clear head about myself. You know, I want to be somewhat straight. I want to make sure that things flow through my mind as clearly and concisely as humanly possible. If that's a thing, if it works, great. If it doesn't, like I said earlier, we never edit anything out of these shows. We just do what we do, and that's the way it works. But this episode is going to be completely different, and I'll tell you why. I'm drinking. I'm going to be drinking. I'm not like bombed or anything like that. I've had a beer. Drinking one right now, actually, and I've got an acquaintance has provided me with some scotch. I like scotch. Scotch is good. We're going to get into that too here in a little while, and I want to get into this whole business of show business a little bit too, because there's a few things that have been on my mind from a friend of mine, not really a friend, an acquaintance, a guy that I have very much respect for, and he's made some statements that, well, quite frankly, I want to give my spin to. Nothing against what he's saying, nothing against what he's feeling, nothing against the way the industry works, none of that stuff. I want to talk about, you know, the stuff that you don't see, stuff you don't hear, you know? So you'll pardon me throughout this episode if I pause a bit. It's because I'm taking a drink, which is why this is being taped. Why there's a camera on me, and there's only just one camera, nothing special. We're gonna see how this goes. I tend to go about a half hour or so when I'm by myself. Of course, we've had the Howard Grimes shows the past couple of weeks. There were tremendous bits of audio that I had the privilege to be a part of in the studio, and listening to what Howard was saying and watching him tell that story was really quite remarkable. And I hope that we were able to translate very well, as best as we could at least, to the things that you heard. There were very moving stories, very uplifting things in there as well. And here of late in this business, it's tough to find that. It really is. You know, show business is tough. We'll get to that in a bit. But first, let's get to the business at hand. I have liquor, believe it or not. I also have beer. The beer of choice this time around. Okay. This is going to be a peek in the door. All right. Here's the thing. Miller High Life. Okay, don't judge. Miller High Life. There's a 32-ounce can. You get 2 for $3 at this local mini mart that's just down the road. Daddy's on a budget. You know what I'm saying? You got to kind of work your way into these kinds of things. But I also have in front of me a bit of scotch, and I put my glasses on because it came with notes, believe it or not. And this is like one of the first times this show has ever dealt with notes. So let's see what we have here. Abelor Abunida non-chill filtered single space side malt. Those of you who like scotch, will probably understand this more than I will. Matured exclusively in Spanish oak, Oloroso sherry butts, the rarest and most precious cask used for maturation bottled at cask strength. It possesses an unrivaled aromatic intensity, a richer mouthfeel and flavor, complexities achieved by bottling without the use of modern-day chill filtering methods. Its nose, because Scotch drinkers tend to be, I don't know, sommelier. You can translate to be snobbish. The nose, full flavors, slightly smoky with red apples and fine sherry character. Taste, intensity, fruity flavors, buttery and creamy with a syrupy fruit sweetness. All right, you lost me there. Soft on the palate with a rich chocolate orange-like note. Finish, long mouth warming feeling and mellowness. Slightly peaty with a honey and spicy aftertaste. It got 96 out of 100 points from Wine Enthusiast. All right. Now, here's the thing. This came to me through a guy named Jeff. And Jeff... Jeff acquired a bottle of this stuff, and it was, I think he claimed it was like $75 for a fifth, something like that. So, you know, I'm drinking on the upscale tonight. Here's the thing. It got sent home, not in any glass, but in a plastic ramekin, all right, like a Petri dish. All right, well, there's a strike against it, but I understand, you know, transportation being part of the issue, and it's not like he's going to part with a $75 bottle of scotch for my dumb ass. So I'm going to try and gently open this damn thing, and I'm going to pour it into a proper glass, and we'll see what we have. Now, I guess in theory I should probably... There's shit floating in it. What the hell? In theory, I should... You know, there's schools of thought when it comes to scotch. One of which is that you should add like a drop of water to it. Opens up the flavors, they say. There are many bourbon drinkers out there that will also tell you that you should do the same thing with that. I prefer to sample the goods the way it was intended by the distiller, which is, you know, it seems to me that if you're going to distill a product that you put a lot of effort into and you have the tenacity, the balls, the temerity, I should say, to charge a ridiculous amount of money for it, if it requires a little bit of water to open it up, then you should already have that in it, right? Well, if it's 80 proof, it already does have a little bit of water in it. So, you know, I'm probably breaking every rule in the Scotch book, and so be it. If that's the case, you know, please. There's so many other things in this world that are worth worrying about than this. It smells winey, you know. Winey isn't grape winey. It's funny because the whole Lucky Buddha enchanted beer thing, enlightened beer, whatever it is, enchanted, I don't know, I got some flack about that. The whole smelling of it, the tasting of it, you know. And here's the thing. If you've got, and I have about an ounce and a half, and here's the thing. With something like this, you don't just knock it back. Although I might, but in the mood that I'm in, it could happen. It's scotch, and it's warm, and it's a little heavier than an 80 proof. It's got a little bite to it. It's got a lot of bite. This would be good with, like, a great cigar. You really would. Actually, it's actually not bad at all. Would I pay $75 for it? No, I doubt I would. Would I take it for free? You damn right I would. Take every bitch and drop of it. But, hey, you know, that's just it. You know, your proclivities and what you like to drink, whether it's scotch or bourbon or vodka or wine or sherry. I don't know. Sherry's technically a wine, but perhaps not. Hell, you might take a shot of vinegar every once in a while. Who knows? Whatever tastes good to you is really the bottom line. If it's good for you, then who gives a fuck what anybody else thinks? So we read a little bit about this Arbalore Abenod. I'm going to spell it ABEROLOURA'BUNADH. It's Scottish. It probably means like John Smith in Gaelic. Who knows? It's not bad. It's not horrible. I've had far worse. I mean, you're talking to a guy, or talking with a guy, I should say, or you're listening to a guy who used to drink at one point in my complete depravity. Would consume about a fifth of J&B scotch a night. Giustiniani and Brooks, the official scotch of the royal family. Yeah, I was, J&B is a fine scotch, but I haven't had it since I gave up on that end of that whole deal. And make no mistake, I'm not an alcoholic by any means. I'd like to reference Dean Martin, as he always used to say, if I drank as much as you people thought I did, I'd be dead by now. That's part of it, I suppose. No, there was a time. In some of my, not I would say, not necessarily my early days, but my early middle days of the broadcast industry and show business, that I thought I had the tiger by the balls, and I was, you know, the cock of the walk, and I was doing my thing, and I thought, you know, hey, everything is great. I'm actually making money doing this, and I was in television at the time, and, you know, making a bit of money and paying the bills, and I was, you know, I had nice suits and coats and ties, and I looked good, and I felt great, and it was all wonderful. And, you know, I would go to, you know, a place, and I could get, you know, top shelf whiskey, and people would pay for it. Not that that was, I never understood that either. If you're making money, why do people want to buy you drinks? I never got that, but it's still, you take it with grace. That's the best thing to do. But the mind-numbing qualities of the things that I was doing for a living in television news required me to just shut it off. And the only way that I knew how to do it, and it was completely irresponsible of me, was to just drink, to drink in excess, and to drink in a very dangerous manner. Ultimately, I switched from J&B Scotch to Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey. We'll save that for another time. But neither of those two I consume, and it really did. It came down to a point where I just had to stop, and there was a moment. If you look across the span of my life, and you look back, and you were to see the different things that occurred in that timeline, that there was a point in there when I guess you could say I dried out. I stopped. I got a grip on what was going on. I realized that, you know, having a drink wasn't the way to solve all the problems. I still lean on that crutch every now and then. Sometimes it is handy. It's handy to have a drink. You know, the Mothers Against Drunk Driving and the people that don't like you to drink, they will tell you that drinking alone is a problem. And it's not. I think everybody who enjoys a drink, disagree with me if you will. I don't give a shit, really, quite frankly. But here's the thing: if you're drinking alone, and you are at home, and you are not drinking to an extreme excess, I know that sounds kind of silly. There's a thing that goes on in your head where you need to let the monkey out, and that's what this is all about. So in theory, I'm not really drinking alone because I have you here. And perhaps if you're of any inclination, I would suggest that maybe you should stop this episode, get to a point where you can be where I'm at right now, and do the same. Enjoy a beverage with me. We'll drink together. In vino veritas, because in wine lies the truth, the old Latin saying goes. And I think there is more truth to that than meets the eye. And I think we're going to figure that out together. That scotch was wild. Ooh, Lord. It's a beast. Ugh. Like I said, it's okay. It's fine. If you want to spend $75 for a fifth, go get it. Knock yourself out. Okay, now that unpleasantness is over with, the issues that I deal with on a routine basis, on a day-to-day basis, can be, I don't know, maybe not understood very well by many people. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not here to say, well, all of you people out there don't get it. You people don't understand it. You people suck. I'm not here to do that. That's not fair. That's not right. If I can, in some small manner, explain that to you and what's going on up in my head, then Well, it serves a few purposes. A, it helps me understand what's going on in my own mind. Sort of like the old thing. It's like the if you want to learn something better, teach it to somebody else, because it makes you a better person for that thing. If you, for example, if you play guitar and you want to be a better guitar player, teach somebody who's never played how to play, and you become a better guitar player. Sounds silly, I know, but it works. It's any instructor, any person who is in the business of education will understand that exactly. They'll know exactly what that means. The thing about what I do for a living and where I go, I follow so many aspects of this business. Those of you who know me and have known me for you know, through the business through many years, understand the stories and the things that I have done, things I've endured over the years. It hasn't been easy. If you go back into the catalog of this podcast, of this show, from Radioland, look back. I want to say it's like in the 20s, somewhere in there, 26, 27, 28, I think is about right. I don't have it in front of me, but there's three podcasts, and they're called Exiled to Radioland Parts 1, 2, and 3. I think if you go through those, you'll get kind of a better understanding of the things that I went through. And what I've endured to get to this point. That doesn't mean that the monkey is entirely off my back. It never will be. Those of us in this business, and you've probably heard the old trope that we're messed up, we're kind of, I don't know, unhinged, we're difficult, we're a bit freaked out at little things. It seems like it's what they would call first world problems. It's not that. It's not that at all. I mean, I'm going to make that separation. We in this business live our lives a little differently than everybody else. We still put our pants on one leg at a time. Most of us use toilet paper. Most of us use toothpaste and take showers and things like that. But, we're human beings, and part of the problem that arises in that is that what we do is a very public job. And when you do this for a living and you expose yourself the way that I'm doing right here, it is involving the human side of it. It's being a human being. It's doing things that, you know, yeah, for the sake of humor, for the sake of entertaining everybody else, that's great, that's wonderful. But to do that, we have to have source material. You cannot make bricks without clay, as it says. And to make that work, you have to step in and expose your life and, you know, tell folks like you about the things that I do and the life that I lead. Yes, we pay bills. We have phone bills. We have utility bills. We have rent. We have cars. We have mortgages. We have, you know, we just look at it differently. The way I look at it is that we're just grown children with mortgages. But that can be said about anything. We all are that way. Everybody's the same way. The only difference between you and I is that my job, for the most part, is probably a little more high profile than others. So what? So it is. Part of the problem that we're dealing with as well is that there is a massive this upheaval. I would say undertaking, but there's an upheaval in this business, and it's getting to the point where we're watching the demise of terrestrial radio. You've heard me talk about that before. AM and FM radio is on the ropes. In some places, it's already dead. Television has got its problems. You got Netflix, you got Hulu, you got all this on-demand stuff. You got the web, you got shows like this. You know, podcasting has become a really big thing that people are really trying to wrap their heads around. And where do you go? What do you do when you are in the demographic that I am in? I am far too old to be that 16 to 21-year-old that hits YouTube with some viral shit and become a star. Nothing against them. They've got to figure it out. They got it going on. They knew how to do it. They somehow created enough content for their spiens, if you will, their friends, that to pass it around, and they are so popular. Now, popularity equating to a financial success becomes a whole nother issue, because in this business, it's either feast or famine. For a lot of these youngsters that are out there, they're making millions of dollars. It's like some kid that comes out of college and he signs on with the Grizzlies and he's making, you know, NBA money overnight. What do you do? How do you handle that? Well, unfortunately, a lot of these guys don't know how to deal with it, and therein lies this weird transition that we're kind of lying in. And then in the middle of all that, you got guys like me. You know, you got somebody who is a child of the 60s, and how do we handle social media? How do we handle YouTube? How do we handle the internet? What do we do with that? How do we put ourselves out there and still make a living without coming across as being that guy? You know what I mean? That old greasy geezer that's trying to be hip and groovy and use the funny terms and stuff. It doesn't work. It never works. I've mentioned this also before, in that when I worked in corporate-driven terrestrial radio, we would see these managers, these bosses, these guys that would sit there and they would try and use these terms that the kids were using. And it's like, dude, you're like some 50-year-old guy who doesn't get it. You don't understand it. You don't understand rock and roll. This is our thing, man. And this is a generational thing. It's been going on, just, you know, count back the decades, the generations. It's always the same thing. We'll never understand what the old guy is talking about. And now all of a sudden, I'm kind of that old guy. You know, I've got a very particular set of skills that I'm trying to adapt into a world that I don't know if it's going to be correct or not. So I do things like this. I do a podcast. I sit here and I talk openly to you people. You people. I know that might come across as a bit offensive. I don't mean it to be by any means. It's just, you know, that's, you people is a term that I would have used in the 1920s. You know, about the time film started coming out, making movies and stuff. Well, you people in your talkies, you know, you people in your silent films. Ooh. You people in your old vaudeville ways. You know, the frightening thing is that this is do or die. So, and I mentioned earlier about an acquaintance of mine. I'm not going to name his name because I don't think it would be fair if I did. And to be honest with you, I'm a little concerned about him. I'm a little worried about him because he's a public guy. He's a very popular cat. At least in my mind he is, and he's a very, very famous guy. And I watched him. There's this really groovy app that you can get through Twitter. It's really cool, and I'm thinking about doing some stuff here along those lines, and I'll flat out, you know, tell you right now that I'm going to copy him if that's the case. It's this thing called Periscope, you know, like on a submarine, Periscope. And it allows people like me to do a live video thing on your phone where you can watch it. You know, you would get a notice in your Twitter that I'm there and I'm live. You can tap the link and you're there. You're in if you have the app, and it doesn't cost anything. It's free. And the cool thing is that it would allow a podcast to be commentated upon, if you will. You can chat through the podcast. And I said, well, what's the difference between that and what you do, you know, at Radio Memphis? You know, because it's the same thing. Yeah, but at Radio Memphis, in radio in general, you're kind of bound by the clock. I mean, we're playing music, we're playing commercials, we're, you know, breaking here, we're doing this, we're doing that, and doing the other. What we're doing right now is complete freeform. And I can do that on Periscope if you guys would be hip to wanting to get into it. And if you are, by God, that'd be kind of cool. I think I've watched a couple of the Periscope episodes that my friend has done. I call him my friend, but yeah, he's an acquaintance. He's a, yeah, whatever. I've watched this, and I've watched him dance around the people, the hatred that comes out in the chat room. I've watched him ban people from the chat. I've watched him appear to lose his mind over the industry and how the internet has taken so much out of the things that we would take for granted in our business and give it to everybody. You know, Radio Memphis was born under the idea of putting radio back into the hands of you. And that's wonderful. But we didn't think, and I'll say it, we didn't think that it would be quite like that at all. It, to the point where it wasn't so much that, hey, we like what you're doing, but I can do it better, even though I have no experience. And that's the thing. That's the thing that kind of rubs us the wrong way. I've done this for 30 years. And there's somebody out there going, oh, 30 years. Oh, you're an old geezer. You're a hack. You don't know what you're doing. Step out of the way and let the young guys come up. Yeah, I'm all for it. Look, if you can do it better than what I do, do it. Knock yourself out. But at the same time, I'm not to be thrown away. I'm one of the best at what I do. I'm one of the people that can do this consistently. There are 170 some thousand subscribers to this podcast. This is a big deal. It's a big deal for me. I understand that. I don't take it lightly. It's important that when I sit down in times like this, when I'm going to entertain you, yeah, I've been drinking. I'm going to drink some more. Get that nasty scotch out of my taste. Here you go. Right here. Yeah, Mr. Dickel. Went and got me what they call an ass pocket of it to go with the beer. Get that. Oh, my God, that scotch still has this. It's like somebody carpeted my tongue. The issue here is that you have to find your niche. If you want to put out a podcast, and I've said it before, do it. If you've got something to say and you can do it correctly, do it. If you can create quality, do it. I'm on Reddit. Reddit is a fascinating website. Those of you who know what I'm talking about understand it immediately. Those of you who don't, just go check it out because I don't have the time to sit here and explain it to you. There is a subreddit on podcasting. It's podcast, I think, is the subreddit. And a lot of it is filled with people who sit there and go, how do I get more listeners? What do I do to get, you know, I'm more interested here. Listen to my show. I've got 3 episodes in and let's see what, look, dude, you know, I'm 68 episodes into this thing. I still haven't figured it out, but I can tell you this. If it's not about consistent, somewhat quality. Yeah, I know. Maybe I'm lacking on this episode. If it's not about that, then you're barking up the wrong tree. You're out there trying to attach a dollar amount to a podcast that's not worth shit to anybody. Everybody's got a goddamn podcast. Everybody has something to say. Everybody has something to bitch about. Everybody has something to really, you know, sink their teeth into. That's great. You know, I've got stories. I mean, hell, we told the story about, you know, getting keys made. It turned out rather popular episode of the podcast. I'd never thought it, but that's the way it works. But out quality, then we'll talk quantity. And then when you have quantity, then you've got money. And when you got money, then you got to go back to quality. It's a never-ending circle. And it continues. It's vicious in that. And what's really vicious about this business is that a guy like me might be working with a guy like my friend, and we might be doing something together, but I may have an opportunity that he doesn't. But for me to get that opportunity, I may have to stab him in the back. What do you do? How do you handle it? What do you say? Do you step over that person to do it? If it's a matter of survival? We've only got limited time here on this planet, in this earth, in this world. Tick fucking tock. That's the way it works. Much better. We have to make do with the things that we have about us right now without the trappings of worry. That's the problem. We worry so much. Every one of us, we all do it. We worry about, what are we going to do tomorrow? How are we going to pay the bills next month? What are we going to make do with? You figure it out. I've been doing this for damn near 4 years. How did we get to this point? Does it matter? Yeah, it kind of does. You pay attention to your own history, because if you don't, then you're gonna keep fucking up and repeating it until you figure it out. I pay attention to every living moment that I've got going on. It's enough to drive somebody insane. Let me break it down to this way. This is a glimpse into my life. I work 7 days a week. My next day off will be, it will have occurred before this podcast is issued. I'm taking Memorial Day off just because I need to. I'm going to go nuts. I drive from Studio A to Studio B 7 days a week, sometimes twice a day. There's been times where I've done it three times a day. So that's the price of having your own business. John Lovitz he's involved in a commercial right now. I forget even what the product's for. It didn't really matter, because there was a great line. This character that he plays is absolutely wonderful. There's a guy sitting in front of a massive mansion by a pool, and he's basking in the sun. He's kind of like an Indian type of cat. Red Dot Indian, not Hal. Holy cow. He's one of those cats. And Lovitz kind of appears, not like the devil, but he's wearing like a pink suit. And he goes, oh, so you're going to, attain your riches by being self-employed. You're going to be that guy. And that's the vibe he's going with. And there's this beautiful line where he goes, be prepared to eat nothing but beans. And not fresh beans, but canned beans. Never were any ever truer words ever spoken. It's just, I shot up out of my chair in a drunken stupor and went, oh my God, I'm not the only one. I get it. I understand it. My friend in California, who's going through this sort of the same thing, but on a different level, is frustrated because he's wondering why people don't seem to give a shit. What do? We sit here, we crack open a mic, we record some stuff, we put it out for you folks for nothing. I don't mind that at all. I really don't mind doing that. I might hip you to a website down the way. I'm just giving you a heads up right now, but that might happen. Because if that's the case, I might get a dollar or two out of it. But I'm not going to sit here and advertise my PayPal account for you to give money to. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to whore myself out like that. That's just not fair. It's not fair to you. And yeah, what we do in this business is about making the ends meet. You know, we fight for our art. Is that what this is? Well, you're just sitting there, man. You're just doing your thing and just being that guy that just, runs your mouth, and we're supposed to pay for this. I want everything for free. Thank you, Napster. Thank you, YouTube. YouTube, of course, capitalized on it by putting an ad in front of the things that you like to watch. But you don't complain about that. You will often sit through those ads. You have no choice, don't you? Especially if they're like 15-second spots where they don't give you the chance to, skip ad. And look, let's be honest. Even a 60-second ad, when it says skip now, I'm out of there. But here's the thing, too. There's a couple of times that I'll see an ad that makes sense to me, and I'll just go ahead and watch it out because it seems somewhat interesting. Here's the thing. They give you like 5 seconds to skip out, right? Here's the thing. If the content is demanding of my attention, if there's a hook, if there's a hook, ooh, yeah. How do you sell blue jeans to somebody who wears a skirt all the time? They find ways to do that. And that's just it. You make it compelling. You be creative. And that's the world that we're in. Now, everybody now has a stake in this. You want to be creative. You want to do the things that are involved that makes this business tick. This is your chance to be creative. Now, if you're just going to sit there and suck at it and be a hack, go somewhere else. Go back to whatever it is that your job calls you to do. I get emails and messages from people all the time. They say, "Well, I want to come work at Radio Memphis. I want to be on the radio. I want to, play the records and I do what I do and I'm good at it. I used to be a jock at a strip club and I want to do it." Shut up. It's either inside of you or it's not. You might feel like it is, But until you sacrifice everything you have ever had in your life and everything you might ever have in your life, then you don't get it. Do I seem a little bitchy? Yeah, perhaps I am, because I've seen it far too often. Too many people sit there and go, well, this is easy, man. You just get to sit there and you're drinking and, you know, you got a mic and you're running your mouth and stuff. Maybe what I'm saying is just rambling. Who cares? But I'm the one that sits here with damn near 200,000 fucking subscribers, and I can tell you the way I feel about things. If you want to tune out, go somewhere else. You know, that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is people who sit there and think that they can do it with so much more panache, with a better flair, without ever doing this. They don't know what it's like. You know, I'm sitting here doing this particular podcast without headphones. And they go, you got to have headphones on. You know, if you know how to run a mic and if you know what audio looks like, then you don't really particularly need headphones if you've done it for 30 freaking years. I'm just saying, it's not that difficult. But don't be that guy. And don't step on everybody else's dreams. Don't sit there and say, oh, well, hey, you know, Rick's got something going on over there, and I think I'm going to go be a part of it. So I'm going to come up with some type of fabricated story that's going to endear me to him, and we're going to help him out. And I'm going to say things like, hey, all of your financial problems have been solved. Or, hey, I've got these advertisers. Or, hey, I've got this group of people that are really, they're going to help you out. And they don't do it. They don't pay attention to it. And all they want to do is they want to get close to you. I don't understand the motivation behind that, by the way. It's called catfishing, where they make themselves out to be something that they're not. And I've seen it a ton of times. To the point now, I've seen it so much that I don't trust anybody. That's sad. That's sad. I don't trust anybody. Because along with the not trusting of people, I've had to sacrifice so much. I've sacrificed friends. I've sacrificed parts of my family. I have sacrificed, possessions. Well, who needs that? I have sacrificed, here's the thing. I enjoy cooking. I really do. I enjoy being in the kitchen. I love, you know, putting something in a skillet and making something happen. I don't eat for my pleasure anymore. I eat for survival. Here's a little secret I'm going to let you in on. I eat, in essence, every other day. You know why? Because I can make my food dollar stretch that much longer. I mentioned this beer, and you go, well, you're over there drinking, man. Yeah. I get 2 32-ounce cans of beer for $3. Well, you can buy some food with that. Yeah, I've got food. I got food in the kitchen. But I can make it last a little bit longer, and it allows me to have cheap beer. Let me tell you something. Miller High Life is shit. It's garbage. I don't like it. But I drink it because it's cheap. And it helps me tune it out. Oh, now you're talking like you got a problem, Rick. Oh, yeah, you know what? I got a problem. I do have a lot of problems. Everybody has problems. But don't deny me the ability to sit down for a moment and kind of tune everything else out. Yeah, in vino veritas. That's what this was all about, wasn't it? Yeah, this is a depressing podcast, isn't it? But you know, it's okay. Because tomorrow, I'll get up. I'll do my thing. I'll go to the station. I'll do something there. I'll do a show. Whatever it is that I do. I do, 6 shows a week? Wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And that's the thing. If something were to happen and all of a sudden, Radio Memphis is right where it's supposed to be and all the bills are paid and everything is great and wonderful and it's I'm in that feast part of the spectrum instead of the famine part, but I'm in the feast part. I would never trade these days that I'm going through now for anything in the world. There's nothing. There's nothing in this world that I would trade that for. Nothing. Because that's mine. Those are my scars. That's my pain. And it belongs specifically to me. How does this apply to you? You find your own way. I found mine.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
And the older we've all become, the more we realize we've been in all those directions, and there's really kind of nothing new, per se, so what's the point? Why should I go somewhere? Where am I going to go? And more importantly, what am I going to do when I get there? Because I'm just going to be in the same situation, right? They don't like this whole on-demand stuff, this whole smart TV thing. They're going to package you to death. And they do that because they want to control what you watch. Because they have all of the horses in the race. They're three episodes into their show. Hey, man. Hey, bro. How do you get more listeners, bro? Hey, first of all, speak like an adult. Throw some effort into your product. Put a well-produced show out there. Put some effort into it. And then... then you're talking. Then you can get some stuff done.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. You can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Player.fm, TuneIn, and Stitcher. You can also listen online and download past episodes at radio-memphis.com.
So a little dark walk down the primrose path. You know, nobody ever said that, you know, all the roses had to smell like roses, did they? I think that some horticulturist with any type of temerity should figure out a way to breed a style of rose that smells exactly, I mean exactly, like bullshit. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean completely like bullshit. You call it the bullshit rose. I don't care what you know. This rose is from El Toro. Whatever you want to call it. It's, yeah. Wave that in front of some people. Yeah, it's the truth, Rose. Nobody's to be trusted. Everybody's full of shit. Nobody tells the truth. Everybody's willing to stab you in the back. I feel like sometimes I spend a lot of time with my hands behind my back trying to, you know, pull the knives out. But that's the way it goes. You know, hey. That's life in the world that we live in. And they go, well, you know, you could always do something else, man. This is it. This is what I'm doing. This is all I'm ever gonna do. I'm not gonna, well, you can't say never. Don't say never, Rick, man. You're gonna get in trouble if you say never. You know what? I'm never going to do the things outside of my realm to survive. That's a pretty heavy statement, man. And I made it right here. It either happens or it doesn't. You find what you do that really moves you, what you really love, what makes things happen for you. That's what you do. If it works, fantastic. Awesome. If it doesn't, that's life. And that's the unfortunate part of it. I thank you. I thank each and every one of you for being a part of all this and putting up for my nonsense. You know, I've told you since day one, this was more cathartic than it was for anything else. I feel pretty good now. Yeah, I feel real good. Thank you for being a part of it. You can always find us online at, well, that's the only place you can find it is online, but you can find us in a ton of places. Those of you that are carrying around Apple devices that subscribe to podcasts, you can find us in iTunes. Look for Rick Cheddar at Radioland, or just Radioland, Rick Cheddar from Radioland. You can find us at our home at radio-memphis.com. There's a bunch of episodes that are there. And if that weren't enough, you can find us also at my blog page at rickcheddar.blogspot.com. We're on Stitcher. We're on TuneIn. We're on, oh God, we're a shitload of places. Just Google it. Just search my name, RICCHETTER. And do me a favor. If you think that doing a Periscope thing, which would be a live podcast for everybody in the world, if you're into that sort of thing, hop in the comments somewhere. I'll find them. Hop in a comment somewhere and tell me if that's what you want to do, we'll hook it up. We'll make it happen. We'll do a Periscope thing, and I'll just sit here and just freeform for an hour or so, and you guys can comment, and I'll answer questions, and or not. I'll just ignore you completely. It doesn't really matter. We'll see what – if you want to do it, that's great. If not, hey, we'll do something else. Why not? Hey, thanks. We appreciate it. That's what it's all about. Thank you for being a part of it. Tell your friends if you like it. Tell your friends if you don't like it. Fuck, what do I care? I'm here for you. I'm here for me. And you do you and I do me. Is that how it works? Yeah, something like that. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radio Land.
Proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more audio on demand, go to radio-memphis.com.